The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the August issue of Scout Life. We're going to begin at the very beginning. Page 2, Hitch and Rack. Are you a donkey or a scout? You look like a donkey, but at the same time, you look like a scout. That's from Shreyan V. in Boca Raton, Florida.
Not sure I've ever seen a scout that looks like yours truly, Shreyan. Then again, you'd be hard-pressed to find a donkey that mimics my matchless mug. Donkey? Scout? Make me a milk burrow.
Dear Pedro, when I read the first letter you published in April, Hipson Rack, I couldn't believe it. What exactly did Bella mean when she said those nasty things about you? How could anyone stoop so low as to write such an insulting letter? Was she for real? No one can fill your shoes. Keep being what you are and doing what you're doing. Don't let anyone disrespect you. That's from Ayn A. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Thanks for having my back, Ayn. That was just Bella being Bella. I can handle a little joking around, and you were right, just joking about that imposter stuff. Right, Bella? Bella? Hello?
Hello, Pedro. I'm writing to say thank you for changing the name of your magazine. I'm a girl in Scouts BSA, so when you changed the name from Boys Life to Scout Life, it meant a lot. It is much a more inclusive title and reflects your audience much better. I enjoy reading your magazine and appreciate your willingness to change. That's from Hazel A. in Madison, Wisconsin.
Change is good, Hazel, especially when it makes people happy. Just as it would make the Scout Life staff happy if their boss were to change his cheese-stained jacket. Did that thing ever even start out green? Or did it grow into its horrifying hue?
Dear Pedro, thank you for trying to be more inclusive to girls by changing your name. However, as a girl, I am proud to be part of an organization that historically was boys only, and I feel like I almost preferred the name to stay Boys Life. I also know that many girls like the new name. So, congratulations on making them feel more welcome. That's from Sophie S. in Madison, Wisconsin.
And the boss tells me change is also somewhat scary, like that gut-churning jacket. He knows he can't make everyone happy. Well, except by changing one particular article about wear. But he can still strive to do what he thinks best upholds the scout oath and law. Boss? Clean?
Dear Pedro, what sports do you play? I play basketball, baseball, and soccer, but my favorite sport is hockey. Do you like hockey? Your friend, Calvin J. in Redding, California.
Well, Calvin, the boss says I participate in horse hockey every month, but I've never even laced up for skates. I think the ever-present foul fragrance has made him a little loopy.
Dear one and only Merrill Burrow, why don't the boss show his face? Tell him you would make a much better boss than he, and to step down from his position or you won't answer any mail. After all, you are the one and only Merrill Burrow. That's Gotham P. in Marietta, Georgia.
Hey, boss, and Bella, I'm just going to leave Gotham's letter right here while I skate off to the corral for a little facial. Full care for my matchless mug, and to change my sweater. Hint, hint. Catch you next month.
Heads up, reader's page. Texas snow shelter. Last February, we experienced a record winter storm in Texas with record snowfall, extreme ice conditions, prolonged power outages, low temperatures, and more. It was a true survival situation for many people in our community. These events made me and my family think about my wilderness survival and emergency preparedness merit badges. We decided to build a large Quincy snow shelter. I wanted to see what it would be like to spend the night in that type of shelter in these conditions. I also liked the challenge. I slept in the snow shelter for 2 nights with each night being a different experience. Despite the unexpected weather challenges, I did take the opportunity to have some fun in the snow while it was here, since it's such a rare thing in Texas. And that's from Parker G. in Lakeway, Texas. Has anything exciting happened to you lately? If you have had an adventure and are under 18, write about it and send it to Reader's Page, Scout Life, S306, P.O. Box 15209, Irving, Texas, 7505-209, or via the e-form at scoutlife.org. You will receive this official contributor patch if we print your submission. Scout Life Headliners. Sailing Eagles. Eagle Scout sisters succeed at sea. Heidi, Lucy, and Sally Vanini, ages 18, 16, and 15, hometown Wilmette, Illinois. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Lone Scouts, Northeast Illinois Council. These ladies made headlines as members of the inaugural class of female Eagle Scouts, earning their Eagle Scout awards while living at sea on their family catamaran. The scoop? During the pandemic, the Veninis sailed for a year on the SV Love and Luck in the Sea of Cortez. The sisters worked on merit badges both at sea and on land when visiting countries such as Costa Rica, El Salvador, Mexico, and Panama. They held troop meetings each week, met with merit badge counselors, and completed their Eagle Boards of Review via Zoom. Powerlifting to win. Life Scout sets records. Joseph Cabana, age 16, hometown, Mount Vernon, Virginia. Scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 996, Alexandria, Virginia. And Joseph made headlines by winning his class and setting three USPA, United States Powerlifting Association, state records. Joseph set records in the 75-165.2-pound class for juniors, 13 to 15-year-old males in the squat, 264 pounds, bench press, 187 pounds, and deadlift, 385 pounds. Three Eagle Scouts made headlines for being named top 40 finalists in the National 2021 Regeneron Talent Search. Chosen from among 1,760 applicants, each received a prize of at least $25,000. The Society for Science helped inspire and engage the next generation of scientific leaders. James Licato, age 18, hometown, Arlington, Virginia. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 648, Arlington. His project? James designed a filter that removes harmful micropollutants from water. Michael Pavlicek, age 18, hometown, Austining, New York. His scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 18, from Austining. His project? Michael used his own struggle with allergies to research long-term treatments for allergic diseases. And finally, we have Jason Zhang, age 18, hometown, Bowling Green, Kentucky. His scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 710, Bowling Green. His project consisted of, well, he discovered a process for creating pharmaceuticals without the need for toxic metals or polluting agents. Great job, guys. The Nature Crew, page 14. Bats and birds are their specialties, but wildlife biologists Mark Kaiser and Celine Birgit Kaiser love all species of critters. Both have worked for the state of Florida and previously worked for Bat Conservation International on such programs as the Great Florida Birding and Wildlife Trail and the North American Bat House Research Project. Dragonflies. Here, there, be dragons. Long before dinosaurs appeared on Earth, huge 1-pound bugs with wings nearly 2 feet wide dominated the skies. A swarm of those dragonflies might have carried off your tent. Dragonflies still look much the same today, but they got a quite bit smaller over the course of 250 to 300 million years. Today, the largest dragonfly wingspans reach only about 6 inches. Dragonflies and their close-kin damselflies are ordnance. It's a Greek word for tooth. There are more than 5,000 species of odonates, and they occur on all continents except Antarctica. About 450 types live in North America. These insects have saw-like mandibles, mouth parts, which function like sharp teeth. Dragonflies are usually larger and stouter than damselflies. Plus, they hold their wings open while resting. The smaller, daintier damselflies close their wings at rest. From water to air. To find dragonflies and damselflies, look near water. Adult females lay eggs either at the surface of still bodies of water, on the ground nearby, or in aquatic plants. Once the eggs hatch, the larvae start to grow. Dragonfly larvae are called nymphs, and they live underwater, breathing air through their gills. Nymphs eat aquatic insects, tadpoles, and even juvenile fish. After they molt many times, taking months or even years, they finally turn into adult dragonflies. As adults, they might live only up to several months. Once the adults leave the water and take to the air, they become one of the fastest and most maneuverable flyers in the world. Larger species typically fly up to 10 miles per hour, but the fastest ones have been recorded at nearly 30 miles per hour. Moving up, down, sideways, and even backward with ease, dragonflies are incredibly agile flyers and are also great at hovering. They are such amazing flyers that scientists have been trying to mimic their wing design for tiny air vehicles that might help survey dangerous areas that can't easily be reached from the ground. From great to awesome. Unlike other insects that rely more on smell or touch, dragonflies rely mostly entirely on vision. Their eyes take up much of their head, and they have tiny antennae to help determine airspeed. A dragonfly's compound eyes are made up of tens of thousands of small lenses, which provide exceptional, accurate vision for hunting prey with nearly a 360-degree field of vision and enable some species to see up to 40 feet. Dragonflies can see in color, and many also see ultraviolet and polarized light. Dragonfly larvae are great hunters, but as adults, they are awesome. They have been documented catching their intended target up to 95% of the time. They eat flying insects such as mosquitoes, butterflies, moths, flies, and sometimes even damselflies. Keen insight, powerful wings, and strong spiny legs help them grab and hold on to prey, which they almost always capture in flight, and make them formidable predators. But dragonflies also have to watch out for predators. Nymphs might even get eaten by fish, frogs, toads, turtles, and birds such as herons, ducks, and kingfishers. Adult dragonflies in flight are most often caught by birds, although they sometimes get tangled up in large spider webs. How to help? Loss of wetland habitat is the main reason for decreases in numbers of dragonflies. If you have the space on your property, the best way to encourage these fabulous mosquito-eating insects to live near you is to create a small, permanent freshwater pond. A minimum size to attract dragonflies and damselflies is about 8 feet in diameter. Adding some native aquatic plants and some tall perches will entice them even more. Off the Hook Part 2. Conclusion to the exclusive summer camp story by the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Luckily, Jane and Farhan weren't the only people Big Quinn suspected of stealing his fish. He thought someone from the other patrol must be pranking him, giving some payback for their sleeping bags getting strung up in a tree the night before. Once or twice, Jaden thought about coming clean, getting this over with. But he kept hearing his cousin's words in his head. In the real world, you've got to look out for yourself. That night, Jaden's patrol ate pork and beans along with everyone else, and Jaden couldn't bring himself to lift his head and look Big Quinn in the eyes. That night it rained. Jaden was happy for it because the big, wet splats of rain on the tent drowned out Farhan's snoring. But the rain kept Jaden awake, and just now he didn't want to be alone with his thoughts. Jane tried to make himself feel better about what he'd done. It was an accident, right? And there were plenty of fish in that lake. With a little luck, Big Quinn could hook another prize-winning trout. Jaden drifted off to sleep with the image of Big Quinn holding a fish aloft, grinning. And when he woke up, he was soaking wet. At first, Jaden thought his sleeping bag was soaked with sweat. But when he opened his eyes, he discovered that the tent was filling up with water. Soon the whole camp was filled with shouting from scouts and leaders. Rainwater was pouring down the hill into the lake. Everything that wasn't nailed down was getting swept away in the downpour, including some plastic utensils someone had dropped on the ground. Jane's eyes went to the area under his patrol's picnic table, expecting to see a white fillet of fish washed clean by the rain. But it was gone, carried away in the flood. That was the moment Jaden knew Big Quinn would never know what he did. He was off the hook. It rained for 2 straight days, but after that the sun came out just in time for the last full day of camp. The guys made the most of it, doing their favorite activities and wrapping up final requirements for merit badges. Everyone seemed to be in a good mood, even Big Quinn. So why did Jaden feel like he still had a rain cloud hovering over him? That night, there was a ceremony to celebrate the scouts' accomplishments throughout the week. Merit badges were handed out in handfuls. Jaden earned his cooking and swimming patches. Sure, he had a long way to go before he earned his wilderness survival merit badge like Big Quinn, but still, he was on the right path. Or was he? As the accolades were handed out to other kids that night, something was gnawing at him, and he knew that if he left camp tomorrow, that gnawing feeling was only going to grow stronger. After the scoutmaster gave a final speech and the assistant scoutmaster told everyone the steps they need to take to clean up camp in the morning, Jaden got the courage to speak up. Excuse me, he said, his mouth dry. I've got something to say. Everyone turned to look at Jaden, including Big Quinn. Jaden kept his eyes fixed on the ground. There was no turning back now. It was me, he said. All eyes were on him in the glow of the campfire. The fish, he stammered. I dropped it. Everyone in the camp gasped. Jaden kept going. It was an accident, but I covered it up. He didn't get any further because suddenly there was a big, meaty hand on his shoulder. It was Big Quinn. Jaden looked up, barely mustering the courage to look Quinn in the eye. Accidents happen, little man, he said. It takes guts to step up and tell the truth. Most people never do. For a moment there was silence. Jaden lowered his head in shame. Big Quinn put his hands on Jaden's shoulders and looked him in the eyes. But you owe me a fillet of fish when we get back home, got it? Quinn smiled from ear to ear and then let out a big laugh. And there was nothing for everyone else to do but laugh right along with him. So, do you feel different? Asked Jane's dad as the car pulled away from camp down the dusty road. I don't know, I guess, he said. But he knew the answer. Yeah, he did. He was. Duck Gordon, David Walken, and Charlie Emanuel, left to right from Troop 60 in Signal Mountain, Tennessee, cruised toward the finish line on the Great Hiwassee River Raft Race. The Great Race. Come to win, cheer or chill out on the raft down a Tennessee river. As they prepared for the 42nd annual Great Hiwassee River Raft Race, the scouts from Troop 10 in Cleveland, Tennessee, had a plan. Finish with the fastest time. The scouts from Troop 1010, also from Cleveland, had their own plan. Embrace the event's theme by dressing up in cool costumes and showing tons of enthusiasm. And if they finished with a decent time, so be it. Then there were the scouts in Troop 116 from Signal Mountain, Tennessee, who had a different kind of plan. Have fun, do the best they can, and enjoy their float down the river. That's the great thing about the annual Great Hiwassee River Raft Race, sponsored by the Ocoee District on the Cherokee Area Council. There's room for all of the above. Participants get to build their own rafts following specific safety guidelines and work as a team to paddle down a very calm section of the Hiwassee. It's just really fun, says 14-year-old Aubrey Webb from Troop 1010. A lot of different troops get together and make rafts There's different themes every year that you can follow, and you can make costumes, and then you just race down the river. First things first. For most troops, the process of building a raft that can support 5 to 8 scouts while also staying afloat begins weeks before the actual race. Troops that have participated in the event multiple times might be able to get it done the night before. Teams start with the basic flotation inner tubes. The number of tubes depends on the number of scouts that will be on that raft. Teams need 1 tube per scout, plus 1 extra just in case. Scouts use biodegradable twine to tie the raft together. That way, if some of the twine ends up in the river, no harm done. Then they use naturally occurring wood. Most teams choose bamboo to provide a structure to sit on. The whole thing is tied together with the knots and lashings they've learned over the years in scouting. The final required item is a safety rope to be used to pull someone to safety. Hopefully, you won't need that. Some teams build really fancy rafts with such luxuries as footrests and seat backs. Others keep it simple and just build an easy flat platform to sit on. We had the older scouts show the younger scouts how to do proper lashing, says Ethan Bullock from Troop 116. Then we went back and checked all the lashings to make sure the raft wouldn't fall apart. Dressing up. Before any raft goes in the water, it's inspected for safety by race officials. Lashings are tightened or completely redone if necessary. The theme of the most recent Hawassi race was Vikings. Let's just say Troop 1010 took this seriously, very seriously. They called their team the Viking River Queens. They dressed up as Vikings, complete with shields. We go all out, Audrey says. It's just like something fun for us to do. We enjoy it every year. We had the shields on our raft for inspection, and we had our flag. It's just another fun thing to add to the race. For their efforts, they earned first place for best design. They also earned first place for best overall because it turned out that their boat was pretty fast, too. The race is on. With so many rafts participating, it would be impossible for all of them to start the race at the same time. Each boat is timed, and the fastest time earns the prize for that category. Let's just say that Troop 10 took this seriously, very seriously. There's a lot of encouragement on our raft, says Troop 10's Jacob Blackwell, age 14, who was part of the Troop 10 raft they called Black Hawk. The raft captain calls out when to paddle, so we're all like, 1, 2, 1, 2. You have to constantly be thinking that someone could beat us. You've got to keep going. For their efforts, the Black Hawk won for fastest time. As for Troop 116, the scouts spent too much time getting stuck on a rock to compete for the fastest time award, so they just took it easy. We were just going out there trying to have fun with it, says 12-year-old Aiden Castellanet. You don't see a lot of civilization on the river. You're just floating down and admiring nature's beauty. After all, it was part of their plan. Scouts in action. He saved a friend on the trail. Nathan Pierce, age 14, was hiking with his dad and brother on the Appalachian Trail in Pennsylvania when a hiker they had met earlier called and told them he had fallen and was badly hurt. Nate and his dad backtracked down the trail. They encountered 3 rattlesnakes before finding their friend with a deep puncture wound under his chin. They bandaged the injury before starting the treacherous hike to the closest town to get more treatment. Nate and his dad met up with Nate's brother on a road near the trail. Another hiker had a car nearby and drove Nate's friend to a hospital where he was treated for his injuries and a concussion. He later recovered. Life Scout Nathan Pierce, a member of Troop 457, chartered to the Brussels American School Parent, Teacher, and Student Organization in Brussels, Belgium, received a heroism award for his actions. He helped save the victims of a car crash. Nicholas Wood, 16, was driving near Lake Purdy, Alabama, when he came across an overturned SUV in a roadside ditch and pulled over to help. Nicholas used a bystander's hammer to break the SUV's rear window, freeing the trapped passengers. 2 off-duty firefighters then helped Nicholas move them safely away from the vehicle. One victim had suffered a major laceration on his head. Nicholas applied pressure to control the bleeding until first responders arrived. Life Scout Nicholas John Wood, a member of Troop 76, chartered to Grace, a United Methodist congregation in Birmingham, Alabama, received a heroism award for his actions. Fitness first. A trail mix doesn't have to be boring. Mix and match ingredients to create your own perfect trail snack. Nuts. Loaded with protein and fiber, nuts also pack plenty of vitamins and minerals. Examples: pistachios, almonds, cashews, walnuts, peanuts, and pecans. Seeds. Seeds pack a wallop of nutritional benefits. Plus, they're a great alternative for those with nut allergies. Examples: sunflower, sesame, flax, pumpkin, and hemp. Dried fruit. In moderation, these sugary treats can be a great source of fiber, calcium, and vitamins. Examples: blueberries, apricots, cranberries, raisins, banana chips, coconut, and cherries. Grains. These crunchy carbohydrates boost energy levels and leave you feeling full. Examples: granola, popcorn, pretzels, Chex, and Cheerios. And finally, sweets. Add your favorite sweet treat to round out the mix. Just be sure to use sparingly. Examples: M&M's, peanut butter chips, chocolate chips, and marshmallows. And we'll end with Think and Grin. Michael, knock, knock. Trey, who's there? Michael, yodelay-hee. Trey, yodelay-hee-hoo. What are you, Michael? A yodeler? That's from Michael P. in Raleigh, North Carolina. AJ, why is milk so fast? Cam, no idea. AJ, because it goes past your eyes in seconds. That's AJ A. in Ackworth, Georgia. Ain, why did Humpty Dumpty have a great fall? Tori, I have no idea. Ain, to make up for a lousy summer. That's from A&A in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Isaiah, I appear once in summer, twice in autumn, but never in winter. What am I? Leo, I haven't the foggiest. Isaiah, the letter U. Samuel, knock, knock. Adrian, who's there? Samuel, Olive. Adrian, Olive who? Samuel, I live you. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.